yourself, you'll never 100% understand of what an addict goes through.
Yeah.
Because with me, it took over everything. It became the puppet master. Like, anything my addiction and my drug habit wanted me to do, I did. So that went from stealing, you know, getting locked up is part of my story, in and out of jail.
We're gonna talk about it all.
Just come.
I just don't know how we're gonna like go.
I'll just say, hey, this is my friend Alan. We have a story to tell, and he's from Andogs. He's a fighter, and like fighters, for whatever reason, they're the way they express the way their life journey. It's just easier for me to connect with and understand.
Yeah.
So it's like I've had a theme of different fighters come on the show so far.
Yeah.
So that's just been the theme, and this is a story that's gonna be really, really great for everyone. So guys. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast, where the goal is to help people, to elevate people's lives. Today, I'm with someone that I'm kind of like just meeting outside of gym life, outside of Andogs. So we met at Andogs. You're just training all the time. I was training all the time. And then he found out I had a podcast. I wanted to get him on and have him tell his story, have him tell what he's learned. And he's recently had some tugs on his heart to just share the lessons that he's learned over time. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Alan Sulhanek. And I believe I have a story that is going to, you know, help people and inspire people to come out of the lifestyle that I was once living. Mm-hmm. So I'll be blatantly honest. The reason for coming on here is, you know, I'm... Lord willing, on the 16th of this month, I'll have 2 years clean and sober from heroin and meth addiction. So God's been telling me that he didn't save me for me to keep it to myself. He's kind of saved me to, you know, give back to others and inspire others and be proof that you can make it out of that lifestyle.
Dang. So it's been 2 years since you quit. How long were you addicted?
I think, 18 years old, I took my first hit of meth. I think 20, I was smoking heroin, and 22, I was injecting heroin. So it was years, you know. I'm 30 now, and I just got clean in 2021.
Wow.
There was times of, you know, getting clean for a period of time and going back out and trying to get a grip on my addiction. But so yeah, pretty much probably 10 years of being addicted.
Whoa.
And so I just recently went to jail for the last time. You know, jail was the reason or how I got clean.
You don't hear that a lot.
Well, you know, it allowed me to sit down with all my feelings and all my emotions and just, when you get high, that's what you get high for. You're numbing yourself, so you don't get to feel all those emotions and those feelings and all the trauma that you put your family through and yourself through. So this last time getting locked up, I was sitting in my cell kicking heroin withdrawn, and I was just broken. I was broken, and I was like, you know what, I'm never gonna do this again. And that's where I met God as well.
In jail.
In my cell. That's how I know God is real, because I didn't meet him in a church.
Dang.
I didn't meet him in a church. I didn't meet him. No pastor came up to me and told me that, you know, Jesus is the way to get saved.
Yeah.
I was in my cell kicking heroin. It was like day three. And I remember just I remember just needing help, and this still small voice came inside my voice. I mean, I was on drugs and I was, you know, tripping out, but this still small voice told me, pray to me, I'm here for you. And I'm in my cell by myself. I've never known God before this. I never went to church. I've never prayed before, never nothing like that. And I was like, okay, God, if you're real and this is you speaking to me, I need your help. If you're real and you are who you say you are, you know, you're God and you can protect everybody, I need your help right now. I'm kicking heroin right now, and I'm in here by myself. My family doesn't want me around. I need help. And so I went to bed that night, and I remember just waking up feeling better. And that was my first introduction to God. as far as I was like, well, I just prayed for all this. And the next day I woke up dramatically feeling better. So, and that's my message I want to you know, tell people, is that's how I've gotten clean, is ultimately Jesus.
Wow. So you didn't have a pastor. You didn't go to church.
No, none of my family really went to church. Yeah, no, none of my family. My aunts and uncles, but you know, I live with my mother, and we never went to church.
So, okay, so let's start from the beginning of the story, because I have, like, so many questions. And to give context, I don't know much about drugs at all. That's the context. So, like, we're going to dive deep into a lot of things on both sides. Like, my naive side is going to be exposed with all my questions, but I think this is going to be really interesting. So, going back to your childhood, like, something I always struggle with when it comes to people that struggle with substance abuse or any kind of addictions is, like, where did it start, like, from being a young kid, having that childhood, having that freedom to do whatever, be curious, and then all of a sudden it was a problem? So what was it like for you growing up where that shift happened? All of a sudden you're a kid to having the freedom to make your own choice to having a life-changing addiction.
The switch. I don't know, growing up, I think when my parents got divorced, I kind of was really curious about all kinds of stuff. And I dabbled in all kinds of things. I went from being a kid that got good grades and cared to just being rebellious. And I chose to start hanging out with kids that, you know, didn't really care as well. And instead of chasing after sports and doing all that, it's just, I guess it kind of developed. It just developed from drinking, smoking, to just being curious and wanting to numb how I felt. You know, I don't really know when it did that switch, but I know when, once I started doing heroin, that I had a problem. I've never really been asked these questions before, so
yeah. Take your time if you want.
So you're saying from a child?
Yeah, like, was there something in your life that you all of a sudden felt like you needed to escape reality from, or was it the curiosity environment?
I think it was kind of just falling in love with that bad boy image.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, seeing the stuff on TV and the dudes that go to jail and the dudes that, you know, come from a criminal lifestyle. I don't know, for some reason I was attracted to that.
Like, ooh, that's me.
The adrenaline, you know what I mean, and just the rebelliousness. There was something about it that just drew me to it, and that involved. That involved drugs, and it's just I kind of enjoyed the way it made me feel at one point. You know, it turned out, it started with, you know, fun with problems, and then just straight up problems. So I think that was probably the reason why I started to indulge in it, was just, you know, I didn't have you know, childhood trauma or nothing like that, really. You know, I mean, my parents got divorced. You know what I mean? That was about as big as it was for me. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, I didn't really have anything happen to me that was so severe. I think I just kind of chose to indulge in that. And it just, again, just ended up taking over my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, because it's always easy to assume that someone always comes from a broken family or one parent just totally out of the picture if you're into serious drugs, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, my mother is, bless her heart, I put her through a lot. My mother's like a superhero to me. You know, I put my mom through a lot. Single mother raising three kids.
Dang.
So yeah, no, my mom's my superhero. I put her through a lot, and she's never left my side, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's cool. Love you, Mom.
So, would you say that you gradually got into harder drugs?
Yeah, for sure.
Marijuana and alcohol first?
Marijuana and alcohol first, for sure.
Shrooms and psychedelics after?
Yeah, all through high school. I mean, up until high school, I was a good kid. Mm-hmm. Once I hit high school, it was about partying, chasing girls, and getting high. For whatever reason, you know, you hit high school and there's an urge to be cool. There's an urge to, you know, everyone, oh, I'm the coolest kid. When I was growing up, for me and my experience, you know what I mean? And then trying to be the cool kid and all this, you know, I started smoking weed, started drinking, and it was like a staircase. It went from drinking, smoking weed, cocaine, ecstasy, shrooms, and then once I was done with high school, I didn't have to go to school, and that allowed me to... My addiction developed by then, you know? My addiction developed, and it brought me around other people that were heavily addicted. So you are your environment, you know? So when it took me to those environments, I turned into that kind of person. And started doing things for my addiction, you know, that ultimately ended me up in jail. And took over my life. Like I said before, it turned into a puppet master. The drug and the addiction will tell you to start doing things in order to acquire the drug. So that involved, you know, crime, stealing, fraud, all kinds of stuff. And yeah, that's where it took me. That's where it took me. And now I'm not that person. Now I'm 100% not that person. For people that don't have too much of a idea about addiction, this is my purpose to share this with people, is to kind of give them an idea of what addiction's like, or if they have a family member going through addiction, of what it makes people do. Everybody that knows me now knows that I'm a stand-up dude. I don't do any of that anymore. It was the addiction that was making me do that. Mm-hmm. You know, my family trusts me now. You know, people at the gym look up to me. And I just want to, you know, encourage... My reason for coming on here is just to encourage anybody that's in that lifestyle that you can get out and walk a life of purpose and achieve your dreams and go after your dreams. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so many questions right now.
I know, and it's a lot. So this is my first time, you know, really opening up.
Yeah,
so,
and I'm so thankful. I'm honored to have that space for you.
Yeah.
So
it feels good. It feels good. I appreciate it. This is something new for me, and it's definitely out of my comfort zone, but I can already tell it feels good.
Yeah, it's a really awesome way to help people, because you can't talk to multiple people at once unless you're speaking, but you can like have a conversation and like that be broadcasted to people that need access to that. So all right, so my whole like thing with substances and drugs, it's like it seems like it's always okay until someone's addicted, but you never know which part they'll get addicted to. And like I said, it's marijuana and alcohol first, and then it's shrooms, and then maybe like shrooms, ayahuasca. Like in my opinion, it's psychedelics, because I think psychedelics are like more like accepted. And then at that point you're just exotic, like God knows what. But from marijuana to alcohol is like such a quick transition. But do you think that you were ever like addicted to marijuana?
To marijuana, I mean, I started smoking at like 13. I don't know if I was addicted to marijuana. And everybody's different, you know. There's a lot of people out there that I don't think smoking weed's bad. I think there's not a problem with smoking weed. Same with alcohol I don't think is bad. It's just there's certain people that abuse it and use it as an outlet to escape how they're feeling and escape reality. Mm-hmm. But for weed, I don't know if I was addicted to weed or not. I know I was addicted to meth and heroin because I just couldn't stop for the life of me.
Is it expensive?
Heroin and meth? Yeah. It's
how much?
I mean, I was up to doing a gram a day, so at least $100 a day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's really expensive. Yeah. And that's for heroin or meth?
I mean, the prices are probably different now, but yeah, I mean, meth, I was doing, you know, so heroin was my main drug.
Mm-hmm.
Meth I like to do because it kept me up.
And how do you inject those, or how do you smoke it?
Well, you inject it through your veins.
Ooh, so that's the needle one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And who introduced you to that, or like, how did you get in that situation to be introduced to it?
Let's see. I can't be name dropping.
No names.
Definitely not name dropping. I had some friends that I had a friend who had someone who had a parent who Okay, hang on.
Yeah, think about it. Give yourself a sec.
I had somebody who I had a friend of mine who had somebody who had Oxycontin. That's how I started off. After high school, it started off where me and my friends would do a little bit of Oxycontin.
And I'd never heard of that.
No, Oxycontin, it's like the little pills, little blue pills that that doctors prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
Little Oxycontin. It's a synthetic form of heroin.
Okay.
So, what was the question again?
How'd you, like, get access to it?
Yeah, so that was, we had a party house after high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that party house had Oxycontin. At first, all of my friends, me and my homies, would do a little bit of Oxycontin and, you know, drink and smoke and have parties or whatever.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, I was doing the Oxycontin every day. I was going to that house, you know, buying Oxycontin every single day.
Whoa.
Every single day. And that's how my addiction developed. It started, you know, you don't just become a heroin addict. You know, it's definitely, there's processes and there's steps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just party. It was the party life. Yeah. And then eventually it just overtook me. You know, it swallowed me up.
What did it feel like? What does it feel like?
Heroin?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. It just numbs you. It numbs you, and it. You never smoked weed?
I have.
Like weed times 100, times 1,000, and it's. At first, it feels good. It feels good, and then it becomes a dependency.
Mm-hmm.
It numbs you. It completely numbs you, and it feels like you're melting. When you shoot up, it's morphine, so it numbs your whole body, and it just makes you feel numb.
Yeah.
You feel numb.
And then
it's hard to explain how it feels, you know what I mean? It's euphoric. It's euphoric, mm-hmm, for sure, but it's nothing that I suggest to anybody.
Yeah, because like I know, because I hear just different things about different substances, and they offer different effects.
Yeah,
like the cocaine, for example, is kind of weird to me how they just say it gives you energy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's nice. Like, what's so nice about that energy? Like, to see something, or, you know, every substance is known for its own thing. But yeah, let's see. So it was just, you said heroin and meth.
Yeah.
And then meth, same thing, party world, party life. You just,
yeah,
were exposed to it and got into it.
Yeah, I was hanging around with people that were doing it, and they just offered it to me, and I ended up doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask. So now that you believe in God, you're more aware of the spirit realm.
Definitely. It was a spiritual experience with me and God. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't someone coming to me and telling me, you need to, you know, come to Jesus, you need to come to church, you need to do all this. It was, my spirit was broken. And now I understand that God takes the brokenhearted, and that's who he comes back for. That's who we can reach, is, you know, the brokenhearted, mm-hmm. to put them back together and put them on solid ground. And with everything being said, I you know, now what I'm doing, I'm chasing after my martial arts dreams and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. So I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, still involved in any of that. Like, yeah. I said, I'm 2 years clean, but yeah, the spiritual realm, yes.
And then the correlation.
The correlation.
As you look back, like, to when you were addicted, do you feel like you were, like, under a spirit?
Yeah. Now that I look back, I feel like there was, like, some kind of demonic realm of spirits that got into me for whatever, the people I was hanging around with. You know, I believe that spirits hang around people. And you need to, you know, remove yourself from those people for those spirits to get off. But I ask God for the Holy Spirit to guide me every day. Mm-hmm. I ask for his guidance. I ask for his grace and mercy, because I don't deserve any of this stuff that I've been given. You know, I'm in a short period of time, you know, I've gotten my family back, you know, I've gotten some MMA fights on my belt. Mm-hmm. I'm like the 12th ranked amateur bantamweight in California.
Dang.
So coming from where I come from, I don't deserve any of it though. You know, and I just know that God's been providing it, and God's picked me out of hell. And that's another thing that experience that I kind of had that is going to be difficult to talk about. But
do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, so it was a week before I'd got locked up. I was staying up on 3 to 4 days average. Three to 4 days average, like 3 to 4 days, no sleep. All of a sudden, I started having voices in my head. You know, I had voices of, honestly, my mother, my brother, my grandmother, my dad crying that I died and that I was in a better place. Them not knowing that I went to hell. This was like a weird vision that I had. I can't really explain it, but in my mind, I was stuck in hell. And the anxiety that came over me, I could hear my family's voices crying. And I remember trying to tell them that I was okay, but I was by myself in a hotel room. It was this spiritual encounter, and I felt my body being left in hell. And then now I came to God. It's like God was showing me that if I was going to continue living this life, that I was going to die and go to hell, and my family was going to be miserable. Dang. So yeah, that's an experience I had.
That's crazy. And what's the difference between being in hell if you're like mentally in hell, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's just all the worst things, like depression, self-hate, darkness.
Yeah.
And if you're experiencing that mentally, like that's what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like we linger. We're in, you know, heaven state of mind or hell state of mind. Like, you know, there's an in-between. Because we're flesh and spirit, but to be consumed by like hellish thoughts, like that's what breaks my heart. And that's why, like, people that numb themselves to get away from that when really they're just going there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I totally believe in the spirit realm too. That's why, like, I think everything is spiritual. Everything happens for a reason. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really crazy that you got out of that.
Yeah, and so that's what God's been telling me lately is, you know, he didn't save me for me to keep all this in. He saved me to, you know, hopefully be an example that people can change. People mm-hmm. can change, and it doesn't matter where you come from, life is ultimately a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a choice. You know, life isn't too much deeper than a choice, really. I mean, your whole life is a product of your choices.
Yes, so true.
So, and I've gotten an understanding of that. You know, I chose to indulge in drugs. I chose to put myself in that environment. So just like now, how I'm choosing to chase after a better life, and now I'm a product of my choices now.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to do better. I'm choosing to turn away from sin. I'm choosing to repent. I'm choosing to do all this. And it's awesome, man. It's awesome to see my family be proud of me again.
How did you rebuild that bond with them?
It took a long time. It took a while. They were nervous when I first got out. You know, they were nervous that I was going to go right back. Because it was years of getting out, going back, getting out, pleading with them, telling them, I promise I'm gonna stay clean, I'm gonna do good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, the way I got it back was just one day at a time, building their trust, and them seeing that I was serious about changing.
Dang.
Yeah.
And how's your relationship with your siblings?
Now it's awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's great. You know what I mean? Me and my brother, we go out to breakfast. I've been trying to get him to, you know, be a little bit healthier and start working out. And, you know, my mother is so proud of me, you know. You know, she has people come up to her all the time. Hey, I see your son. He's fighting. He's doing good. It's good to see, you know. And the smile on my mother's face now is good.
That's good to really see, cool.
You know, because I put, there's nothing like a mother's love.
Yeah.
There is nothing like a mother's love. Like, for my mom to stick by my side and, you know, towards the end, you know, she had to, you know, tough love and kind of push me away because I deserved it. Nobody wanted me around. You know what I mean? But now, you know, it's, I've gained their trust back. I've gained their trust back, and
yeah. It's good. How do you think a parent can navigate a kid that is struggling with that, or an adult, when, like, they want to give them tough love, but they also want to know, like, I'm here for you?
Yeah, see, I don't... That's something I think you'd have to ask a parent, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to answer that. But I know that enabling them and being there for them too much can enable them to stay in their addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bless my mother's heart, that's kind of what she did. But that's because I'm her son. You know, she didn't want to see me go through that. But she can admit it herself, and she does, that she was an enabler for me for a long time. And then towards the end, she was realizing that it wasn't doing me no good. So for a parent, I think it's, you know, try to nip it in the butt, honestly, and get your kid to realize that it's not going, that life isn't going to lead anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's hard, you know. You can only get clean and sober when you want to get clean and sober. Doing it for any ulterior motives, you're not going to last. You're not gonna stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it because I was broken and I was done. I was so sick of living that life, and I knew what I was capable of. I was like, "Fuck, dude, I'm so sick of living this life."
Yeah.
I'm so sick of living this life. I know who I am underneath all this. I'm a great dude. I'm a great person. My morals and everything is awesome. It's just that drug took over.
Dang.
And so now I'm in love with the potential of my potential. You know, only, you know, not even a full 2 years clean, and, you know, hopefully going to be making my pro debut later this year and achieving what I've achieved. It's just anything's possible.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah. So how did you find Antox? How did you find martial arts?
I needed a way to stay clean.
Yeah.
I needed a way to stay clean, and I was so sick and tired, and I was like, growing up, I played sports. I played sports, and in the streets, I got into a lot of fights.
Yeah.
And Ant Dogs, you know, you just hear about Ant Dogs. It's really the only MMA gym in Gilroy. So
yeah, it's true.
I was like, man, I need something to give me structure, give me purpose, give me, you know, reason. And went to Ant Dogs, signed up, and the rest is history.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That was, I actually met you then.
So I came to Antox in like 2015. I had got out.
Oh, okay.
I got out and I tried to stay clean and went to Antox for a while, stayed clean, and then relapsed, went back out, came back, relapsed again. And this last run was my worst one. And came back after I got out of the the drug rehab. I went to jail, got out, and had to complete a drug rehab, and then got a hold of my coaches, and I said, is it okay if I come back? And they're like, absolutely.
Dang.
Absolutely. So,
Coach Antog, like, that gym, and, like, him especially.
Antog's so fucking cool.
I've never met someone with who's so many have spoke so highly about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, because his people are all not as, like, expressive. Let me talk about it. But when I hear them talk about it, it's like, no, like, I love him.
100%.
It's his energy. Loyalty, like, that deep love. It's, I can tell it's been so impactful.
I owe a lot to not just God as well. I mean, everything is, you know, God orchestrated, but Anthony and Angel Figueroa and everybody involved in Antox, you know what I mean? It takes a tribe. And, you know, without Anthony, I wouldn't be on the path I'm on, because his walk of life has resulted in me walking my life. So I'm 100% grateful for him. Like, this morning it was me, Anthony, Anthony Jr. and Andrew, and we had a, you know, awesome workout. It was good. It's just, it gives me a sense of purpose, drive, and the MMA that I'm chasing after is kind of parallel to my drug habit, as far as, but my MMA now being beneficial, as far as I was always chasing after that high and more and more and more. And so now with MMA, it's parallel, as far as you're always going to be chasing after more. Nobody's ever sitting on the top like, oh, I'm done with MMA, I have it all figured out, in the MMA world.
Yeah.
So that's what's, I've just transitioned my addiction from being heavily addicted into something beneficial. And I've put in that work ethic to a good purpose.
So do you think it's true? Because I heard people say this, like, everyone's addicted to something, or everyone has their medicine. So, like, everyone does have their thing.
For sure.
There's no one that's just like, eh, about everything, unless they're indulging in just food and video games or something. See, I like to see it that way too, because that obsessed energy, it's just, you have to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I've managed to put it in movement and fitness too. And it's like, I don't know why, it just kind of keeps me sane. Like, once I stay away from it, I don't feel myself.
Yep.
I don't feel good. I need it in my life.
Absolutely.
I have to stay at the gym. Like, this is where my friends are, this is where my people are, and this is where I like myself.
Yeah.
But it's just like a substance. I have to stay with it. Like, I'm not myself without it. I go crazy without it. How do you think you find a healthy balance between, like, overly obsessed with something?
Lately, I've been understanding that you definitely do need to find a healthy balance. How to find it? I think you just need to have healthy relationships around you. You need to have a good tribe around you. But as far as finding it, I don't know, because honestly, I kind of feel like I'm obsessed with training lately. Yeah. So I don't know if I've really found it. I don't really know if I found it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. That's like, that seems healthier though. It's how it should be.
And yeah, it is.
Until
it
you
is,
burn
but
out.
I can see how it can become unhealthy. You know what I mean? But for now, I enjoy where I'm at. I'm in a good mental space. I'm in a good spot spiritually, and, you know, 2023, I'm ready to just keep it going. You know,
keep training. Just keep train training. More.
Yeah. And you know, it could be a little unhealthy the way I train, maybe. You know, because I every single day, like, Monday through Saturday, it's 6 days a week, twice a day at times. But I understand that where I want to get to, that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to take. I'm honestly trying to make up for lost time. You know what I mean? And I understand that nothing in life that is easily attained is going to fulfill you, or is going to bring you fulfillment. And it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And that's something I'm trying to grasp as well. Cause being an addict, we want it now. That's what we want it now. And I'm learning to enjoy the process, but to really take that in and understand that it's going to take hard work, you know, to understand, I know where I want to get to, but do I understand what it's going to take? Do I understand that it's going to take, you know, eating right, sleeping right, not really being able to go out and do stuff, because you gotta to get to the top, you gotta eat, shit, sleep, train.
Yeah,
it's what it's gonna take, because there's somebody else out there that's looking for that spot too. So
what did it take for you to not want to go out anymore?
To not go out and just party, or just
not even like party, but just like go out and like just have social time and all that. But usually end up being partying, just because that's what people these days do when they come together.
I've done enough of that to where I know that it's, I don't know, it's just not for me anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not for me. It's just kind of like wasted time. You know, there's so much more that I could be doing. So although it's good, you know, to go out and enjoy a social life.
Yeah.
For me, I'm getting to know who I am.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like my life just started, you know, January 16th of 2021 is when I got locked up. January 15th, January 16th of 2021 would be my clean date, because I haven't used from then on. And I feel like just from then on is when my life really started. And so it's just not for me. I don't know, going out anymore. I did a lot of that in high school. It's just not for me.
It's all out of your system. Now you can focus. Yeah,
and that's what I think is huge, is just getting it all out of your system. Same with addiction. It's just getting it out of your system and being done with it. You got to hit a bottom.
Yeah. Do you think you have to hit a bottom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't hit a bottom, there's no reason to stop. There's no reason to stop, you know?
Yeah.
For me, that's what it took. It took hitting the bottom.
Mm-hmm. What was it like, your first fight? Your very first fight, like with the crowd?
My very first fight was awesome. My very first fight is now the reason why I'm chasing after that, because that feeling was awesome. Having your friends and family there supporting you, and going out there and performing and putting all your hard work. My very first fight, though, I threw one punch and it was over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my very first fight in 2018.
Whoa.
Yeah, but...
They got knocked out?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Were you
But then to flip that over, the next fight that I took, I got fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I got fucked up. Went in there, short notice fight, and the whole time back in 2018.
Was that when your nose bled?
That was, yes. The video that I posted, yeah. So my coaches know this already, though, but back in 2018, I was smoking cigarettes as well. Heavily addicted to cigarettes. I couldn't stop smoking cigarettes. So that first fight went as good as it could have gone for me, because I was smoking cigarettes. My coaches didn't know that. My coaches didn't know that at the time. Yeah, my coaches didn't know that at the time. They wouldn't have put me in there.
How'd you hide the smell?
I would go to... I would make sure I smoked a cigarette 30 minutes before every practice. Listerine and hand wash. And then I would go to practice.
Wow. You actually had a system.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Dang. Yeah.
So, but yeah, then on the flip side, I learned so much from my loss. That loss in 2018 after my win was, I went in there and I was defeated mentally, because I knew I was smoking cigarettes. I knew that I was, that I wasn't taking it as serious as I should have. You know what I mean? So I went in there, dude threw a right hand, broke my nose. I broke my hand, tapped me out in like 30 seconds or something. And I learned so much from that fight, as far as to go in there and feel your opponent out.
How'd you break your hand punching him?
I came with the right. As he was coming in with the right, I threw a right. I switched southpaw and I hit him a right and I broke my thumb.
How do you break your thumb punching?
I don't know. Just the way I threw it, I guess it landed with my thumb and I threw a hook instead of a straight shot and broke my hand.
Mm-hmm. And he tapped you out jiu-jitsu style?
Yeah, he took my back and tapped me out. I was my face was broken. My nose was completely broken. I had to go to the hospital after that, and they had to rearrange it. And yeah.
Dang.
So from that fight too is what keeps that fight is close to my heart. You know, because going out there and getting fucked up like that in front of my friends and family, my team and everything. That was just horrible.
Yeah.
And so that's a big reason why I'm fighting, because I don't want to feel like that ever again. I don't want to feel like that. I want to go in there And now that I've gotten rid of all my vices, I've, you know, haven't smoked a cigarette since January of when I got clean. Everything stopped when I went to jail that day.
Dang.
So.
That, it stopped from your encounter with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the Bible transforms me, transforms everybody. I think the Bible is, you know, God's written word to us on how to live. So the more we read that Bible, the more we're going to live the way he wants us to live.
Did you ever, like, wonder, like, where this God voice came from? Because, you know, anyone can have a God encounter, but there's so many different religions. Like, what made you find the Bible?
I just knew that it was God. I put praying, because the word praying came to my mind. And so I just put two and two together, and in jail and county, I asked for a Bible. A Bible was given to me, and from then on, I just continued to read, continued to pray, and I asked him to take away my anxieties, to give me strength to not do this. I pled with him. I was like, when I get out of here, God, I promise you that I will not use again. I will not go back to that life. And sure enough, I haven't. So.
Dang. What's your favorite part in the Bible?
I think it is probably when Jesus, before the Last Supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And I think that just shows that no matter how high you get in life, it's about humility and serving others.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, I think that's what I got out of that. That was Matthew. I just read that, I think, 2 days ago, too. So,
what's your guidance for someone that wants to read the Bible but is intimidated by how big it is?
Oh, that was a big thing for me, too. And I'm an infant in my faith. You know what I mean? I'm just starting to understand. So what was your question?
Like, because I've read the Bible. I mean, I kind of struggle with the Old Testament.
I haven't really indulged too much in the Old Testament. Yeah. For me, it's the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's way more spiritual in the New Testament. Yeah. And the way Jesus lived, it's more, for me, it's more the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. And you just like New Testament beginning to end, or do you have like a suggested two books you read before you read beginning and end?
I like any one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that shows you Jesus's life, and I believe the way Jesus lived is the way we're supposed to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Psalms and the Proverbs. Proverbs is, you know, the common sense, and it'll
yeah. Proverbs is the common sense.
Yeah. So, but it's definitely intimidating, and you kind of have to have somebody to guide you through it. So that's what I've been wanting to do, is get into a Bible study recently, and Jim Serrano's been helping me though too. Mm-hmm. Jim Serrano's awesome.
Serrano.
And every time we have,
he's amazing.
I do personal training with him, and you know, we talk about it all the time, and he guides me through it.
Yeah.
And he was a big push on for me to do this whole podcast. It was just,
that's really cool.
Yeah, that it's gonna, you know, hopefully help somebody, and mm-hmm. just to be truthful, just to be honest. There's nothing wrong with sharing your story. It's just, as long as it's the truth, there's nothing wrong with it, and mm-hmm. that's what I've come to accept, is that there's nothing wrong with this. It's where I used to be in life at one point, and now I'm not, and that's my truth. And hopefully somebody can look at this and say, dude, because of you, I turned away from that life. I'm now going after what I want to go after, and mm-hmm. because of you it's possible, you know. And ultimately it's Jesus. Ultimately what I want get people to get out of this is Jesus is the one who saved me. You know, and I've only been, you know, reading my Bible and praying and going to church for, you know, I got out in like a year, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like this going to church and taking it serious was like a year, probably a year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What church do you go to?
Victory Outreach.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's on the same, it's on the same block as, and again, I need to go more than that
church does a lot with like outreach and rehabs.
Yeah.
They're amazing. That's yeah. really crazy. I thought you went to one in Gilroy.
I that is Victory Outreach is in Gilroy. So I live on the same block as Victory Outreach.
Victory Outreach is like multiple places.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's why yours and Jim's story about like just you guys have experienced so much life.
Yeah.
But both of you guys had found God not like in church or like read your Bible, pray, we're yeah. going to church, it's Sunday, like that's how I was introduced to God.
Yeah.
And it's very like, it's Sunday, we go to church on Sunday, pray right before you eat, don't eat before we pray, you know? And so for me, like, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I want to not be so in the book or not so by the rules, but like allow myself to not be so into it so that I can have those encounters, like, in a weird way. But then I realize, like,
well, and that's kind of like religion though, right?
I'm
not religious. I'm not religious. I think there's a difference between religion and Christianity. For me, it's a spiritual life and relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not religion. It's not somebody telling you to do this, telling you to do that, because ultimately God's the one that we have to answer to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people won't even get to that realization until, like, they do have to deal with their mental constructs of thinking that, like, religion is just this box. Like, faith is religion, and religion is just, you're a bad person if you do this, and you're not if you do that. But it's like, you can have an empowering relationship with an infinite being that can, like, give you guidance to life.
Exactly.
And bring you to not just live a sinless life, but to give you fulfillment and purpose that we're all seeking.
Absolutely.
Because I'm realizing, as I've had the freedom to be young and just have fun according to what the world calls fun, and I just realized, like, there's no quick fix. There's no, like, substance. There's no party. There's no place that compares to, like, a raw, like, real moment with God. 'Cause
the peace that it brings you.
The peace that surpasses all understanding. And I have been so uninvolved in my faith recently. But I just think back to times I was the most happy.
When you say uninvolved with your faith, what do you mean by that? Come on, this is a two-way street. What's up?
I just mean, like, you know, I'm grinding a lot, but I make no time for my faith. I have all these, like, Devo books, Bibles,
yeah.
Church opportunities, even church friends, people that would sit down and, you know, like, talk about God together with me. Like, I haven't allowed myself to prioritize that. It's just kind of like, no excuse. I'm just like, I'm just working and then sleeping. And then working, sleeping, social time. And working out, of course. But yeah, like, my priorities are so different because I used to do missions. So I used to go out anywhere and everywhere and share the gospel. And that was really awesome. But just coming back home to a routine and not people who are just like, yes, let's do it for God. Like, let's go tell someone we love them. Let's go give someone a hug. Let's go pray for someone and see if they're struggling with anything. Like, that's a life I used to live. So being back, I'm just... it's not, what is God telling me to do today? It's more like, what do I have to do today? And if I get this done and I have time to pray and read the Bible, then I will.
Yeah, and it kind of has to feel genuine, right? I think
Yeah. Some
of those people that are out there doing that are doing it because the religion, people are telling them that they need to do it. You know, are they really doing it because that's what their heart wants them to do? And that's what they're calling God, or God's calling them to do? Or are they doing it because they're being told by other people to do it?
Yeah. That's true.
So, but for you, I believe, you know, faith without works is dead. So you have to put in some work. You have to put in some work, but, like, you got to find that balance as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, believing what you want and asking God for all that, he'll give it to you, but you have to put in the work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what your journey is right now. You know, you're putting in the work to get you to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's what it takes as well.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm in sync with God, you know, like, I'm in tune. I feel him. And it's more like I've been trained to set aside time and do certain things to feel connected with him. But I just have this heart of, like, I love your people. I love them. And I'm going to do anything I can to help them. And I'm like, even though I'm not reading the Bible, I'm not, that heart doesn't go anywhere. And that's not my heart. Like, that's how God calls us to live,
Amen.
To help, love, serve each other, and do what we can for each other, because there's nothing better.
I don't get a greater sense of fulfillment or purpose than from helping people,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Like, going in and performing in the cage and doing all that, it feels good, but like when the kids at the gym, they ask how to punch, how to throw, how to do this, how to do that, and I teach them, and even, you know, some of the adults and the kids, the dudes in the sparring class, like, oh, how do you move your head like that? It's like, and you're teaching them and helping them be of service to what they want to know and do too. It's a good feeling.
Yeah,
it's a really good feeling.
And they could feel it, you know, because you could just be like, just move fast, like, do it like this, and then you're done. No, but you can, like, look them in the eyes,
Yeah. And
you're doing great, and just keep doing this, you'll get it. I'll come check on you in a little bit, like, for a child, even for an adult, but, like, the kids that get that kind of love and attention, yeah, that's so healing more than we can realize now.
For sure. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Well, do you have any other things you want to share about your story? Things that come to mind?
Just with the context, I want people to know that you can make it out of that life. You know, I'm now on my martial arts journey and going after what I'm going after. It's all possible. You just have to believe. You have to trust God, and you have to make that choice to to turn from that life, and never go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And now you're like on a totally different journey where you have to kind of think, oh yeah, I used to be addicted to this, but other than that, I'm training all the time. So yeah. what are your plans with fighting right now?
With fighting right now, I'm trying to get to the top. My coach Angel is trying to find me a pro fight right now. And so we're in the middle of doing that, but I might take another amateur fight here in February.
February 25th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably going to be hopefully getting an opponent to do that. But I just want to inspire as many people as I can and you know, put myself out there because it's going to keep me accountable. And I just want to prove to anybody that it doesn't matter about where you come from or what you've done in your life, that if you make that choice to turn from that life and start chasing after a purpose and really doing good, you can. And your whole life, you're not your mistakes. Mm-hmm. If I would sit here and have that mindset of, oh, you guys don't understand, I come from this, I come from that, don't have that victim mentality.
Yeah.
You can get over anything. It's going to take one day at a time and it's going to take effort, but it's doable. Yeah. It's definitely doable.
That's so true. That's amazing. And also I wanted to say, like, I did this for gym, so I'm sure you're kind of aware of that, but like, you've been through a lot and not a lot of people like been where you have. And so those that could relate to you, like, I just want to say, which I'm sure you're fine with.
Yeah.
You can always reach out to him and just
absolutely ask him questions. That's what I've done it for. I hopefully, you know, it's my first time sharing all this, you know, so I might've jumped around quite a bit, but yeah, it's ultimately for somebody that's going through something like that, or, you know, for a family member that has a son or a daughter that's going through it, to realize that, you know, they're not bad people. They're not bad people. They're just somebody that developed an addiction and they need help. They need help.
Yeah. So you have access to Alan. You can text him, DM him, yeah, and you can follow his fight journey, and that's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And that's another thing, you know, I kind of want to talk about, but ultimately this is God told me the purpose for this is to inspire people that are coming out of or still in addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much for being honest and transparent with that. Like, I learned so much because, again, I knew nothing about this. I'm still just, dang, it's a whole world that I'm thankful that I don't know, honestly. But
yeah, I don't suggest that you know. You know what I mean? I don't suggest that you know. It's nothing. And, you know, I didn't come on here for sympathy or nothing like that. I want to give light, you know, for you saying that you didn't know. Yeah, you didn't want to experience it. But it's good for you to understand that where drugs can take you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And where that life can take you, and for these kids to stay the fuck away from that shit.
Yeah.
All these kids are out here dying off of it. Mm-hmm. Off this fentanyl. It takes a grain of salt to kill you.
Dang.
And these people are just selling it because it makes them money. And
there's so much more to your life.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
your purpose, for your sure. dreams, and it's all attainable.
And hopefully, you know, they can nip it in the bud before they, you know, lose their family and people give up on them.
Yeah.
Because it's not an enjoyable life at the end at all.
And that's the perfect time to talk to someone. Like, when you're curious or you're trying something and you're trying something else and you're getting the craving. No, that's the time you ask for help.
Yeah, don't get peer pressured into doing any of that stuff. Because you never know. It might end up being one night, and then all of a sudden that night you develop the addiction, and it's gonna take steps, but you're eventually gonna, you know, I guess for me, I started using every single day.
Yeah.
So just There's other ways to cope. There's other ways to cope. Get into a good gym. Come to Ant Dogs.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to Ant Dogs. You do training over there.
I do.
So if you're in Gilroy, yeah, you can train them. If
oh, they for want sure. Training. Well, Anthony's the one that's going to be training them. You know what I mean? I help coach the kids class.
You teach the kids class.
Yeah. Well, I help coach the kids class.
Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the one-on-one training. You do one-on-one.
Oh
training.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do personal training.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then well. Coach Ant Dogs has kickboxing, strength,
jiu-jitsu, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And, yes. And Ant Dog cares.
Yeah.
Cares about everybody that walks in his gym.
Yeah. That's why gym life is. MMA gym life is different than regular gym life because you're kind of like headphones on squatting, but like MMA, you're like face to face with someone trying to hurt each other, and then you hug after and say thank you, and then get like a little motivational spill, and it's like this is good. This is a little family.
It's more like mind, body, and spirit with MMA. Like yes. Like doing gym stuff is more like lifting and stuff, but I think MMA, like sparring, jiu-jitsu, involves the spirit a little bit.
Yes.
So.
And it feels good. It's fun. That's what it's about. Well, Alan, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, any last minute thoughts? We went over a lot. Anything?
Went over a lot. It was my first time.
Yeah, first podcast. I got it.
but it felt good to let this stuff out. You know what I mean? And just hopefully to encourage anybody or that is in that life to just give it up. Mm-hmm. Give it up before you hit rock bottom.
Yeah,
for sure. Give it up before you hit rock bottom and. And find your purpose. Find your purpose.
For sure. That's what it's about. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Keep elevating. Stay motivated. Stay inspired. Again, you have the freedom to reach out to Alan on Instagram or however else you can give him information on Instagram. But yeah, if you're struggling with any of this, if you want to talk about it, if you want to learn more, like take advantage of like the expression, the vulnerability that he's giving. So it's about helping each other. It's about giving back to each other and doing what we can to bring each other up. So thanks for listening. Have a beautiful day.